Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. All right. Well, audio difficulties there. But, hey, we're back for part two all of 5 minutes later. And we're back with Lars and Rob, and we're continuing our discussion of Jake the Snake. We're glad you're with us. If you just by chance click on part two before part one, listen to part one first. And, guys, when we left off, we were talking about what a humanitarian warlord was.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I think I got cut off when I was probably like some – grand conspiracy by warlords people, but I was talking about like Naylor hanging out with Warlord at the Christmas table with the Naylor family, just asking Warlord for some mashed potatoes. Because I mean, if you're calling somebody a fine humanitarian, you must know them pretty well, you know?
Yeah, the Warlord is a great man. Yeah, he enjoys mashed potatoes. He yells at whoever he's riding with. He needs to eat 18 times a day to get enough protein into his body. So he's 50 Cent's bodyguard, and I will go on. He's a wonderful guy. He's going to be at Wrestle Reunion along with Barry O in January for PWG. So mark that date down, folks. So, I could go on about the Warlord for days, but I just remember him fighting Jake, and it was good shit. I liked it.
Well, you know, I might just see you out there, Naylor, and I'll bring Warlord some mashed potatoes with some anabolics and some face paint so you can all get out of a meal.
That sounds like a fucking plan. I'm excited about it. When Barry O's going to be there, shit. That's like a dream of mine to go up to him, and when he goes to shake my hand, just do like the O thing that he used to do. Like, I think that's cool. I'd be okay with it. Or like point over to the corner and go, is that Terry Garvin? And then like he'll flip out. But anyway, I don't know. I like Barry O a lot. He's a good guy. Anyway, I'm sorry. We're off topic here a little bit.
Yeah, it's all right, man. It's all right. Well, we're going to do our 15-minute Warlord show too, man.
Okay. All right. What we were talking about was the Jake the Snake, Rick Martel blindfold match. That was a fucking stellar hit. One of the reasons why my friend Andy Finney got WrestleMania was to get that match. And I remember seeing it and really had high expectations what was going to happen, and really nothing kind of did happen.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, but I thought it was better. See, I unfortunately got to see the Jim Garvin, Kevin Sullivan, Prince of Darkness match, which preceded this. And I actually think Jake and Rick was a little better. Like, granted, it's always an 11 minutes too long kind of match to have when you can't see anybody. However, I thought it was done a little better. And the bullshit of all this was, again, not to make the show about my life, but I'm trying to relay my feelings here about wrestling when I was a kid. I didn't even get to see the shit until after it happened because my mom and dad sent me to Catholic school, and we had Stations of the Living Jesus Cross that day. So we had to perform the Living Stations of the Cross. And I didn't get to see fucking Sarge and Hulk say Hulk Hogan ended the Gulf War that night. There were so many big things that happened. And, like, fucking, I can't see any of it because I'm fucking, you know, Lazarus in some fucking play. So, like, whatever. It's spilled milk to cry over, but I really wish I could have, quote unquote, seen that match as it was happening, but you know, I liked it. It was all right. See, by the time I could see it, Lars, I was able to fast forward to the finish, which is the way I usually watch wrestling these days. But like,
right. So
it wasn't as painful to me. But I'm sure it's a pretty perilous thing when you and like, you know, a bunch of your buddies are sitting around watching two dipshits and fucking cloaks on their heads and they can't see each other, and then finally you get the DDT payoff. It's awesome, but sure that was a long ass match.
Well, but I just remember the crowd. You know, there was the crowd. You know, they were kind of, as soon as Jake would get close to Rick, you know, the crowd would fucking get louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. But they just did so much of that. We're just kind of, like I said, it just, your heartstrings were pulled a little bit too much. So,
yeah.
You know, but I mean, whatever. I mean, we still had blind Jake with fucking contact.
Yeah, as long as Jake is still blind, all is well in the world. It's always funny too, Lars, because like, remember when like the match ended and the contact was like mysteriously gone for TV the next day, and it's like, okay, you're blind one day and you can see the next. You know, it's like it was a loser loses the contact in their eye match or something all of a sudden. So I don't know, but I didn't care at the time. I was just happy Jake won. And if you win the match, you can see again. So, who did he wrestle next? Does anyone fucking know? Or did he go on to Bad News or something from there? Their timeline.
Lars, who did he wrestle next? Because you are on this, man.
Well, I believe it was kind of the Undertaker or somebody, right? Or old
He had the earthquake.
Earthquake.
Yeah, the Urquhart. And Dino Bravo calls him the Urquhart. Urquhart and Jake was good. I liked it. I thought that was really good. And I have a friend, Russell. I'm giving you a shout-out on the show. My friend Russell is probably about 10 years younger than me, and he legitimately ripped all the fucking wrestling posters down in his room and quit watching wrestling when Damien the Snake was killed by Earthquake and the horrible angle. It was too dangerous for TV because they shot back the fucking pussy-ass Sean Mooney going, we could show you the carnage going on, but I surmise it's not good. And, like, you know, all of a sudden you saw, like, a Jay crying at the bag and, like, you know, Damien the Snake is dead and, you know, the Urquhart killed it. And that was just bad news again. I mean, fuck, it was just a series of downers. Like, now in wrestling, nothing affects me. Maybe I'm jaded or something, but, like, God, you'd be depressed for a fucking week. And like, you'd think there'd be a fucking wrestling fan support group at the time for all the bad things that were happening. But, you know, I know my friend quit watching wrestling. He quit watching wrestling twice. Once when the Urquhart killed Damien, and the other time was when Ultimate Warrior came back looking like Brian Pillman. He was furious. He went to that shit him. So those are the two times he was done. It's like, that's bullshit. Papa Shango shrunk the Ultimate Warrior, but, yeah,
right.
It happened.
Well, you know, the one thing I do remember about that whole Earthquake thing was that, like, he fed the snake burgers or something.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know what I mean? Out of Damien, poor Damien became, like, Lord Alfred Hayes, you know, fucking noontime snack or something. Because I remember Lord Alfred Hayes in the picture or something, vaguely. But
like Quake had the hat on. He had the chef hat. And Alfred's like, oh, these burgers are delightful. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, it's like, oh, I hope you're enjoying gaming. And then it's like, oh, shit. And, like, I like taking that extra step, you know. It's bad enough that the snake was fucking crushed and dead. But, like, then feeding it to people on primetime television on Monday, I like it. And, like, it was sad, too, because, like, Jake was such, I mean, what a fucking move over De Niro. You know, he walks over in the bag, and McMahon's like, he has to do it. He has to look to know for sure. And then he looks in the bag, and the deceased snake, and he just starts crying. And the way they did it, the bait and switch of, you know, I don't know what happened, but the snake was seen at the beginning of the match, and then something happened with the bag. They got changed or something. And then, I mean, I hope. I mean, I hate to think they actually kill the snake on live TV, but, you know, I really remember that. It didn't really resonate with me as much as my friend Russ, unfortunately, which 10 years of youthfulness will do that to you, I guess. But,
well,
you know, I go ahead, man.
Well, no, if Russ would have just stuck around a little bit longer, he would have fucking seen that, like, you know, once, you know, your dog dies, you just get a new one. And that's exactly what Jake does, is he cuts a tight-ass promo and comes out Lucifer. If ever, you know,
yeah.
With the new snake.
Lucifer the Snake was bigger than Jake, too, which is always the way you got to go when it happens. And, like, okay, we're just going to discuss this now before, so we don't get, you know, beat to death later. But, like, we're going to rate the snake because we're like that on the show. If I had to rate Jake Snake, Damien has the years of Damien is the most experienced snake. Most people know who he is. Cobra looked like, they sold the Cobra like it could kill you. And it almost killed Macho Man. And the third snake would be Lucifer. And the fucking whack-ass snake is Revelation, the Jesus snake, which came in, like, 1996, which is total bullshit. Like, come on, man. It was like a white snake or something. So David Coverdale can fuck off.
That whole era.
They are dropping white snake again, man. What
I know, I had to. I stole the knife in my head from Jack Victory Magic.
Poor Jake is so fucking confused with Revelation. I mean, it's like, come on, dude. Just go to fucking AA. You know what I mean? You don't have to fucking go to God, you know, like Jesus born again shit and come out with your snake, fucking Revelation. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, like, man. Like, how do you go from being in a satanic cult with Kevin Sullivan in 82 and like 15 years later, you have like a born again Bible snake? You know, it just doesn't work like that. I was against it. I didn't like it at all.
You can always tell like when dudes get all born again, because you know, especially wrestlers, because they just get fat because they just stop doing drugs. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
You start wearing a shirt. Remember, he wore a shirt, Jake the shirt wearer Roberts. I didn't like that. Like, he got the wax snake. He was pale, which is another thing. Tan, steroids, and fucking paint was the way to be. But like, Jake was fat. He was pale. He had a shirt on, and he had a fucking terrible snake. Like, that was when it was all over. Like, when Jake beat him and made fun of him, it was just like, he was like salt in the wound. It's like, it's going to be all right. And he never was the same.
Lars, do you want to take a shot at rating the snakes?
Rating the snakes, bro. That should be for part three when I get cut off again. You know what I mean? fuck Christ. Well, obviously, I'm with Mailer on the fucking one about, you know, Jesus snake. You know what I mean? I'm not really backing Jesus. I'm kind of more of a fan of, you know, the OG or the OS, I should say, the original snake. But, you know, too bad he got turned into fucking snake burgers. But that's something I'd actually be willing to try as a 39-year-old man. But I'd have to say I kind of dug fucking Lucifer, man. Gotta be honest.
All right, that's cool. I'm just happy I got you to say the word
that.
Jesus snake on the air. And the fact that you said Jesus snake makes me happy. Revelation for Jesus snake. Come on.
That's your next album, Lars, fucking Jesus.
Yeah. it's the next band I'm going to be in, fucking Lars Ghost and Jesus snake. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, Jesus snake and the Earthquakes sounds like a band out of like 72. Like,
totally.
It's the Jesus snake and the Earthquakes. That'd
be
awesome.
Yeah. Just Jesus snake. It's going to be like my next tattoo. I'm just going to get on my throat. Just big old fucking Jesus snake. You know what I mean? Just like this fucking crucified snake. Just, it'll be tight. But anyways, I'm either going to hell or, you know, it's his birthday coming up pretty soon. So I just thought I'd mention it. But,
I think Rob's going to be there with you, man. Fucking shit.
But anyways, then he goes to Taker then, I think, right?
Yeah.
Nope. Then we have the Randy Savage Elizabeth wedding, and Jake the Snake ruins that. And, you know, this kind of brings us to a bigger topic, which is wrestling weddings. I mean, we had a Triple H and Stephanie. We had a Chuck and Billy, you know, and obviously Randy Savage and Elizabeth, which was the one that was probably played the most seriously. And I remember
liking
this thing.
Uncle Elmer.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, man.
Yeah, recognize.
Revoke my fucking old school card, man. Shit. Right. But
are we gonna rate the wedding now?
No,
we're not gonna rate the wedding.
Yeah, I have a gut feeling that Chuck and Billy's your number one.
Oh, yeah, fucking Chuck and Billy, dude! That Chuck and Billy wedding got so much fucking press. That was so fucking tight. I mean, I live in San Francisco, brother. That shit was like just, people were like celebrating, like if it was real. You know what I mean? It was fucking,
yeah,
I was celebrating.
Wow.
No, but I mean.
And the Bischoff reveal was awesome. The Bischoff reveal, come on, man. That was awesome.
Yeah. No, I was back in the Chuck and Billy, but back to Jake the Snake, a fine heterosexual. But you know, so we got the wedding crash of Jake the Snake, right? Doesn't like Elizabeth open gets the box of snake, and something happens or something.
Cobra.
I kind of vaguely remember this one, but whatever.
Yeah.
The cobra pops out and gets her. Like, I always liked it when they film like pre-film stuff with the cobra. Because, like, they would just show the cobra, like, looking right at the camera. Like, I always like the pre-produced cobra bits. Because, like, McNabb would be like, oh, no, the cobra. And, like, the cobra would come up. And cobra didn't have a name. It was just, like, fucking cobra. But, like, I remember went and got Elizabeth, and she's screaming. And Macho Man's, like, trying to hit the fucking cobra with a wooden chair. It was good times. I liked it a lot. And then, like, they fucking took that shit next level. I mean, we won't get into when he was El Diablo, dressed up in his old pants and, like, take her and him beat up Sid. But, like, I liked it when he attacked the Macho Man and the fucking snake legitimately bit Macho's arm. Like, there was blood.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Fuck, that was amazing. And then Macho Man was acting like he couldn't, he was fucking, had, like, the venom, like, coursing through his veins, and he's punching at fucking the air. And McMahon's like, it better be devenomized, it better. And, like, everyone's, like, freaking out. And I'm like, wow, what's happening? And they're fucking showing little kids crying, and fucking Elizabeth's freaking out. And, oh, and then the classic WWF thing was always putting the good guy on the stretcher. And then it's, like, Gorilla and fucking, you know, the Duke of Dorchester pushing him back to the locker room. The good guy, like, falls off the stretcher because he's so freaked out. But, yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought the fucking snake bite thing was great.
No, I do remember that. And I remember Macho Man's outfit in particular. But that's a whole different show. But, but just, yeah, the whole, like, you know, it kind of reminded me, you know, just with the emotion, just how they're panning to the crowd and the kids crying. It just, I kind of got a vague, like, I remember having, like, a vague emotional, the same emotional response I had when, like, Dusty brings Nikita out to the ring. Like, but, you know, it was obviously an opposite reaction, but just that powerful. Like, once again, you know, Jake the Snake is fucking in the spotlight and the fucking the man, you know what I mean? And I thought those two were a good pair because they've probably been wrestling maybe Randy, maybe a couple years more than Jake, wouldn't you say, at the time?
Yeah, definitely. I think
so.
He's way older than we thought, Randy Savage.
Right, but the chemistry and just, you know, they both kind of grew up with the territories and, you know, so
like
it just...
Generation.
Yeah, it just kind of seemed like, you know, it fit. And the fact that, you know, Macho Man would let a snake bite him, you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty fucking core.
Yeah, that's you got to give him some cred for that. And the thing that I was pissed about, though, that fucking angle, I remember the Survivor Series was that next week, and it was supposed to be like Big Boss Man. I don't remember. I don't forget things like this. Big Boss Man, Road Warriors, and Macho Man, or Sid Justice or Macho Man against, like, IRS and the Natural Disasters and, I think, Jake. And then for some fucking bullshit reason, they took that shit off the pay-per-view. And they just had, like, a three-on-three. And then, like, they did Tuesday in Texas, which was, like, fucking more money to spend, so I didn't get to see that one. So I thought that was always bullshit, like, that they fucking took it off last minute, and then you had to pay for fucking second purview, like, the next week to see Macho and Jake. But I remember, like, that angle I thought was cool, but I didn't think it was fucking so cool when they fucking ruined the Survivor Series match. So, and I forget even who won that one. It wasn't as good as the last year because there were less white contacts involved, but... and they didn't name people either. Like, they had the Visionaries and the Vipers, but then the next year they didn't even fucking bother naming any of the teams. You know, then, like, by like 2 years later, they didn't even have the fucking cool Survivor Series matches. So it's like a losing effort.
Yeah, but you know, that's one of the things when I would see Jake in those kind of scenarios. It's like the guy was just too good by himself, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. He didn't need Snuka next to him. Snuka added nothing in 1991 or 92. Like, come on. So
he
he's
had
a bad
cool headband.
Guy. He did have a cool headband, and he had the promos, as he said earlier. His fucking promos. Come on. You can't fuck with the Snuka Fly promo.
Have the cool
and then what happened? Undertaker fight? The Undertaker fight with Jake coming up next? Is that what we segue into?
I'm kind of confused because it seems like a big old ball. Because wasn't there an Ultimate Warrior thing there too?
Oh, fuck. Before fucking SummerSlam, Jake was a good guy and he was trying to lead the Ultimate Warrior into the darkness or some shit. And it was a series of the worst produced videos this side of the midget blowing up a boat in WCW, where you had, like, the warrior being fucking taken into the dark side. And, like, he put him in a coffin 1 week, and then he's at some horrible fucking movie set of a cemetery another week, and then he's in, like, the fucking snake, you know, domain or some shit, and he fucking locks him in a room with a cobra, and then the cobra bites Ultimate Warrior, and we're led to believe he died. And then, like, he left the company after fucking holding him up for money, and there really was no payoff. They just said, like, Ultimate Warrior got killed by the snake or something, and that was it.
Well,
like, I don't think I would have wanted to see the Ultimate Warrior against Jake the Snake, though, so I don't know. But I don't know. What's everyone's thoughts on that?
Well, no, I wouldn't. Who would want to see that, really? But
not
I mean,
me.
I just remember kind of the silly snake that bites Ultimate Warrior, and then, you know, Ultimate Warrior, like, you know, as I facetiously say, knows how to sell a snake bite, and then the whole thing is like Paul Bearer and Taker and Jake were all in it all along, and.
Yeah, I like them as a team, though. Like, those three is cool. Like, they didn't take it as far as Sullivan did, but, like, I like that. And as you said, Ultimate Warrior doing the dated reference here, like, the Beastmaster fell of an injury, you know, and you're like, okay. And, like, he's like, and then, like, you know, okay, what's happening next? Then he's gone. Then you plug Sid Vicious in, and then fucking Sid hurts his bicep, and then you got to plug Modge back in, so... It was just a fucking comedy of errors, booking-wise, at the time. But, you know, I'm just glad we get to see Ultimate.
Well, the fact that, you know, the fact that Sid would actually get injured, as everybody knows, is an anomaly in itself. So, I mean, you know.
I know, I was surprised.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I'm always surprised when that guy gets hurt, like, you know, the last 20 times. But, yeah, that, I mean, you know, it just seems like that at that time, you know, you were talking about the whole El Diablo thing, right? And
yeah.
That's the whole Sid time. And it's just, yeah, there was some goofy shit happening at this point right here. I mean, as you said,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's Hulk Hogan fucking single-handedly in, you know, a war. At least that's what I believe.
He did. He did.
So yeah,
I remember, like, the Gulf War ended in, like, February, but then, like, McMahon at the end of Sarge and Hulk said, "Now the war is truly over," and I thought that was fucking poignant. So I liked it a lot. I was okay with this. And, like, then, like, I probably had, like, a history test, and I probably, like, when did the Gulf War end? And I'm probably like, well, you know, it all goes and pinned Sergeant Slaughter on March 31st. But, like, you know, as much as, like, wrestling taught me, it probably made me dumber as well. So you gotta know how to siphon the bullshit or the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. I don't know, but like I do remember vividly McMahon telling us all that, you know, the war ended. So that was nice.
Well, I just remember, like, you know, the one thing that kind of reminds me, I think this is right around the same time. After, like, Sid gets another snake bite, right? So now we've got, like, you know, four or five people that have been bitten by snakes. Some of them have been real. Some of them have been rubber. Like, you know, and then – and I always fucking love when the WWF would bust out fucking Jack Tunney. You know what I mean? Who the fuck is Jack Tunney? It's like Vince's, like, weird alcoholic uncle that he needs to, like, throw a bone. You know, so just keep him in scotch.
From Moondog Spot, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, Jack, what's fucking Jack Tunney comes out, and, you know, and does this whole fucking thing and got a big announcement, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they bring Savage out of retirement, right? Because isn't he supposed to be retired at the time?
Take the Macho Man.
You know. And this is where
reinstate the Macho Man movement. Reinstate the Macho Man movement. As you said, Jack Tunney gets take him out of the mothballed, and he always like gave the same proclamation in the same deadpan way.
Right.
He usually used the word circumstances was a big one with him, and I can't even really remember. But yeah, Jack Tunney was pretty worthless in the big scheme of things. Yeah.
Well, I mean, wasn't he like a promotion guy and like Vince bought him out? There was a
guy in Toronto named Frank Tunney, and then Jack Tunney was the guy's son. I only know this because I remember being pissed in 1987 when I got my Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and I saw that they were running the Frank Tunney Memorial Cup in Toronto. WWF was. And I thought it was bullshit. The Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup was clearly the tag team tournament of my choice. So, like, I thought that was bullshit. But that's, like, the only fucking reason I know who Frank and Jack Tunney were. But, like, Jack Tunney would be, like, he'd say the words in clear conscience a lot. Like, he had, like, the same fucking template for all of his proclamations. So, yeah.
How do you remember that shit, man?
Dude, my mind is retarded with shit like this. So, yeah, in clear conscience. And he said, in clear conscience, I have to bring back the Macho Man. He reinstated. Macho came back, fought Jake the Snake. Then fucking Jake was going to drill fucking Elizabeth with a steel chair when they were walking back to the dressing room. And out of like a thief in the night, the Undertaker crept from behind like Frankenstein before him, takes the chair out of Jake's hand, smashes Jake with the chair, and then boom, you got WrestleMania something, you know, main event with them dudes.
Yeah, I just, you know, I need to kind of go back to Jack Tunney because there's a lot of things that need to be said about him. I mean, I know this is Jake the Snake show, but like, you know, I think when I think Jack Tunney, I think it's like, you know, well, I know you're going to take my promotion, but you got to just fucking take my kid too. You know what I mean? Like, just hook up the kid. Okay, I know he's got a problem with drinking, but, you know, you make him like the, you know, something, and then just sober him up with a couple cups of coffee, have him say some big words, and fuck, Vince, come on. You know, you got to do it for me. You know, you just name a cup after me and take my kid. You know what I mean? It's like, so, I mean, it just tells me, like, how fucking heartless fucking wrestling is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's fucked up, dude.
Then I remember the big payoff for Jack Tunney where he got his was when Bad News Brown said, Jack Tunney, you a beer belly shell cropper and you get favors from Elizabeth. And like, at the time, I had no idea what favors from Elizabeth meant. So like, I'd be asking my parents about, you know, what kind of favors Elizabeth doing for Jack Tunney? And like, that'd be another time when they turned the TV off in my house. But like, I do remember that. Jack Tunney and Elizabeth were, you know, an item for a couple weeks there. But yeah, Jack Tunney was worthless, you know. And then it was even worse, because, like, then he went away, and then, like, Gorilla Monsoon took his place. I actually like Gorilla Monsoon, so I was like, well, that's a step up.
But then, you know what, man, I gotta say, one of the best matches, I thought that Savage, and because I just actually, another tour video that I had is the Tuesday in Texas Macho Randy, Macho Jake the Snake match. I mean, I think that kind of was like the first of that feud.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, right? Because remember, they were going to have the Survivor Series, but then they're like, fuck you guys that bought this. We're going to give it the first match of theirs on another pay-per-view. So, yeah,
but I just remember that match being fucking pretty high energy, hot, you know, just was like, fuck, yeah.
That was a good show. Like, as I said, I didn't buy it because we didn't have the money to buy two pay-per-views, but, like, I remember that was the pay-per-view that had a badass Skinner-Bret Hart match opening the show, and then they had... I'm telling you, it was good. I'll look back on it and watch it. But they also had a Skinner-Bret Hart. Yeah, Skinner was a goddamn man. That shit all on his face. they had him on there, and then they had Undertaker losing the belt to Hogan, which is fucking retarded. So I liked it so much when Undertaker beat Hulk Hogan at stuck to Thanksgiving that year. I remember, like, the commentary was fucking tremendous because they're like, oh, he just tombstone Hogan on that chair. And that was the day that Mike Utley, the NFL Detroit Lion, on Thanksgiving got paralyzed. And Monsoon, in the Good Taste of the Year Award, was like, yeah, the Hulkster visited that player earlier today, and then he showed some signs of life. And I'm like, what the fuck? That shit never happened. He, like, legitimately stayed paralyzed. So, like, it's bullshit. But, like, I remember thinking, wow, what a good guy Hulk Hogan is. And then, like, Hogan laid in the ring for the rest of the match. And they're like, oh, he'll have to be in the next bed or something. I was like, Jesus Christ. And then the funniest was, like, if you rewatch that match, which everyone please do, at the end of the match when The Undertaker wins the belt and rolls his eyes in the back of the head and leaves, they're like, the fans here are just at a solemn, it's a bad time, and children are very upset, and they shot this kid, and as soon as they put the camera on the kid, he like, waved and smiled, which is awesome. They're like, oh, these poor children are so sad. It's like they took Christmas away, and then they show the kid, and he smiles, which is always awesome. So, yeah. Anyway, I had to go there.
Yeah, I feel you. But I just...
Well,
yeah,
guys,
yes.
Oh, keep going, Lars.
No. We might as well just get into WCW, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because, I guess the reason I forgot some of these feuds when we were putting the show together is I wasn't watching WWF at the time. I had already tuned out. You know, the cartoon world was not for me at the time. It was just... And I'd already tuned out, you know, around 89, 90 or so. And then, you know, I finally got back into it a few years later. But WCW, Jake the Snake had a really impressive debut. He comes out, he attacks Sting, and it was on, you know. And you think at the time, wow, this is a feud that can really work. You know, Jake the Snake, a real slimy guy, Sting, everybody's surfer hero. And, you know, probably didn't work out the way Bill Watts wanted it to. But what are your thoughts on that feud?
Well, you know, before we get into that, you know, just something that you just said about the fucking cartooniness of the WWF at the time, I do agree that there was some cartooniness, but, I mean, if you remember at the end of that fucking match, there was some pretty core shit. I mean, that wasn't cartoony. I mean, Savage goes over, beats
yeah.
Jake, right? And then he fucking now DDTs Jake the Snake or Randy Savage all over the fucking place, and then Elizabeth's coming out and he's like, beg me to stop, and doing all this fucking kind of masochistic fucking shit. And I mean, you know, that's a true testament to, like, that, you know, even though it was kind of gimmicky and everybody had an alligator and we had Skinner, I mean, we had the greats of fucking chewing tobacco and whatever.
Yeah, the warlord,
you know,
the great humanitarian.
The fucking humanitarian,
yeah,
known as,
yeah,
the warlord. I mean, like, Nobel Peace Prize winning warlord, you know, obviously just for, you know, massive steroid use, you know, he gets the Peace Prize. Like, he got so big he couldn't hurt anybody anymore, so they gave him the Peace Prize. And, you know, but that needs to be said, though, because, yeah, I know that it was cartoony, but there was some real, because I was watching it. At, you know, and I remember that being pretty shocking, you know, even though we had seen snakes bite people, you know, sometimes rubber, sometimes real. But to go in straight into the Sting thing, that was pretty impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, I fucking loved it. Like you said, Jake had that believable evilness to him, and it was out of nowhere. I was in California when this happened, visiting my aunt in San Jose. So I was not in Baltimore when this occurred, but one of my friends was, and he called me up telling me about it. And then I watched WCW Saturday Night and saw the footage. And I didn't know Jake was going to be there. So they had Jake come through the crowd. You had the best guy possible calling it, Jim Ross, completely freaking the fuck out. That's Jake Roberts! And it's like, what? And then he comes in, and he fucking has a fucking snake. And he's got the fucking steel chair. He fucking clubs Sting with it. He DDTs him. He's wearing, like, a leather jacket. He looks fucking cool. He's in black. He's tan. And he gets in the ring and DDTs Sting. And then the coolest little touch of all time, he fucking rips the cross off his fucking neck, and he drops it on Sting, and then he cuts the promo later saying, "This is your cross to bear." And I'm like, fuck. And like, I'm like, this is awesome. So like, it was so good. And like, he DDT'd him on a goddamn chair. He took him out of the Vader match, which allowed a young Ron Simmons to win the belt and become the first black man to win the belt, and like Jackie Robinson moment for WCW. So like, he had all that shit, all because of what Jake did. And man, his promos were so fucking good. And then, you know, they had a terrible match at Halloween Havoc, and the rest is history. But like, for an opening angle, you can't do better than that. That's one of my favorite angles of all time, having him fucking come out and drop Sting on his head and talk about the cross. And it's like, fuck, you know, this isn't like fucking cartoon world anymore. This is fucking shit.
But then also, like, the psychological value, I mean, I'm not a fucking psychologist, but just think about, like, just the, you know, just what you're saying with the cross and everything in a Southern promotion, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Basically saying, I'm a fucking bad guy now because I just threw this fucking inanimate object on this fucking baby face, you know, and now I'm here to fucking fuck all you motherfuckers up. And then he aligns himself with another great humanitarian, fucking the Barbarian. And fucking
Conga. Conga the Barbarian, not to get confused with Nord, even though Jake probably didn't know the difference at this time in his life. But yeah.
No, no. Because with the cross, you know, dumping, you know, like right in the backstage, right after he fucking dumped that cross, he was so stoked when he got that eight ball out of his bag. You know what I mean? Because he's like, stoked. He goes, I'm with fucking Cactus Jack. I'm with fucking the Barbarian, not to be confused with Nord. And we're going to fucking battle fucking Nikita, and we're going to battle whomever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a Bill Watts thing, you know, with Bill Watts really wanting to align Jake with whatever Barbarian was in his company at the time, you know.
Yeah. There you go. Why not? And, dude, I have to bring this up. We did a show on Gordy a couple of weeks ago, and Watts was great because when Vader won the belt, he had everybody, good guy and bad guy, cut promos about how they, like, Gordy's like, I'm gonna get the Vader. And then, like, they had, like, fucking Johnny B. Badge being like, it's gonna be 2D when I get the food. And, like, he's talking about this. And then, like, they went over to Jake. And Jake, I remember this so vividly, he looks at Jim Ross and he goes, my dad always told me as a kid that the things that I'm not supposed to do were always the most fun. I'm like, fuck. And he's like, Vader, me and you down the road. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's going to be great. And then, like, Vader lost to Ron Simmons and, you know, he ruined everything. But, like, dude, Jake had so many amazing promo lines. Like, Will, if you ever do a comp of, like, Jake promos, it'll be, like, my favorite one ever because, like, even, like, I remember he did an interview and he's like, you know, he hated all the people that yelled and bellowed and growled, and he'd be like, my goal was to speak softly and more quiet so the fucking dickhead with his beer in his hand had to get up off his ass and turn the TV up so he could hear me talk. He's like, I want to have all the power in this relationship with the people. Why? I was like, fuck, this guy's goddamn Nietzsche level right now. Like, I'm like, this is crazy. What's he doing? So, like, I always just love Jake. He's just such a fucking cerebral. I mean, he's thrown around all the time now, but, like, such a smart dude who had, like, tons of baggage, which I think helps. Like, you don't want people you admire always to be fucking squeaky clean. You want them to have some faults. And, like, I think, like, it really, what you see is what you got with that dude.
No, for sure. And you're right. But, I mean, you know, when you look back at some of the things that, like, he did say, or how he would end little things with his little catchphrases and one-liners and shit like that and stuff like that. Now you might think, well, that's kind of predictable. But at the time, you know, they're doing it on the fucking cuff. I mean, that shit had to be thought up on the spot. I mean, and to be that genius and that fucking consistent. I mean, have you ever in your entire life, can you say that you ever heard a bad promo come out of fucking Jake the Snake Roberts?
No, well, not this guy.
Maybe pre-Jesus Snake. I would say pre-Jesus.
Even during Jesus Snake, he had some shit going on. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, he's still Jake. I mean, it's not like, you know, Dusty Rhodes, okay, as much, I mean, you know, Dusty Rhodes could have a fucking amazing promo without actually saying any English at all. There might not even be an English word spoken. It could just be like grunts and just like, you know, his cheeks slapping together when he's talking. But for whatever reason, like you just know it. Fucking Dusty Rhodes just was fucking tight. Jake the Snake was the same. Like there wasn't really a bad promo even during fucking Jesus Snake era. Like there's, I'm sorry, you can't really take that away. You know, and even Jesus Snake era is endearing to me. You know what I mean? Because you know you can kind of feel for the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like he was even able to explain that. Like he took his own problems, he turned it into Jesus' name, but at the same time, like he made you actually feel sympathetic toward his plight at the time, even though he was completely working us all and fucking even more deeply into drugs at the time. But like I bought into it. I'm like, man, I hope this guy turns this shit around. And then they did the angle with Lawler, which is really good. And you know, like after WCW, he gets fired. He goes to Betty Ford. He goes to AAA, I guess, with DDP and Conan and gets fucking baby shit and piss thrown at him with the fucking feud he had there. But, like, after that, it just went to Jesus Snake. So, like, I don't really know. What else did he do? Like, are we forgetting anything? Like, after
in AAA, he had a feud with Conan, which was really heated at the time. And I guess that brings us, you know, kind of a how Jake could even appeal to probably an audience who probably didn't understand him, you know, but they knew that you know, this guy was hot. And I think, well, actually, no, they did the feud in L.A., I think it was an L.A. based
feud.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you guys are kind of forgetting one of the most fucking infamous rad fucking things that, that I've ever seen. It was this fucking spin the wheel, make the fucking deal, bros.
Oh, yeah, Rob kind of blew that off. He was like, fuck that horrible Havoc match. So.
Dude, no, you know what? Well, listen,
we got to quick on this, Lars.
Because, like, okay, remember they had the Clash and Bruno was on it, 20-year anniversary, and at the end they're like, we're going to have a big video at the end, and they're like, spin the wheel, make the deal mini-movie. And there was a little midget again with a patch on his eye. And then at the very end, Jake and Sting walk into a bar and, like, lasers came out of their eyes at each other. And, like, Jake is such a believable guy. And, like, when I saw, like, lasers coming out of their eyes, like, I realized it was a TV commercial. Kind of took me out of it a little bit. How dare I say such a thing? But, like, Spin the Wheel, Make It Deal was a good idea. I think the mini movie was a real bad idea. But, like, the match itself, I don't really remember. I just remember Jake's own snake legitimately biting him. And, like, that was it. You know, like, the snake bite him. And that was the last word on him, unless I'm missing something.
Well, no, I mean, it was a pretty fucking tight fucking coal mine death match or whatever the fuck it was. But I just love WCW. Like, you know, just everything from the Yappapai strap match. Like, where the fuck is...
Yeah.
Who's a fucking Yappapai? I've never met anybody who claims to be a Yappapai Indian or, you know, or whatever. I mean, WCW is credited for some of the lamest fucking... It's like sometimes you go to Japan and they just throw four English words together, and WCW would basically do the same fucking thing with their, like, specialty matches. Like, just weird, like, Coal Miner's Daughter match. What the fuck kind of match was it? It was Coal Mine or something, right?
It was a Coal Miner's
Glove. But there was also
a White Castle Spear
match.
Yeah, it's just like some shoddy fucking glove. Whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But, I mean, you got to just, that whole spin the wheel, you know, thing was kind of tight. It's kind of like, you know, kind of roulette for, you know. You know, I don't know. I kind of like that idea. I mean, too bad it was the Coal Miner's Daughter match or whatever it was.
Coal Miner's Daughter, I love it.
The winner gets the fucking, give 10 lashes to Sissy Spacek or something at the end of the match or something. I don't know. Fucking Coal Miner's Daughter. God damn.
Doesn't he do a hair versus hair match in AAA, though?
Yeah, Conan, I think. Conan.
Did he even wrestle anybody else besides Conan?
I think it was just the Conan feud. I think they may have had like a six. One of the things I remember from that feud is Jake picking up the little midget, the little mini luchador. Is what they're called, right? The minis?
Yeah, he's fucking eating from the mini, dude.
Yeah. Well, he fucking threw him on the fucking concrete, too, or threw him out of the ring or something. I remember fucking saying, holy shit, he just killed the midget, you know? Kind of like the equivalent of Earthquake killing a snake. But that was kind of when Jake was wandering around, you know? He fucking, after that, he does AAA. Did you mention SMW, Rob?
No, I did not. He was with, like, Dirty White Boy and stuff.
Right. And so,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, have you gotten a chance to watch any SMW there, Lars?
What, like Jake's stuff or just SMW in general?
Yeah, just the promotion in general. Jake,
yeah, of
if
course.
You've seen it.
I haven't seen any of the Jake the Snake stuff, but, you know, Onita and all that shit, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with that. And those and the other big face-painted dudes, the headhunters.
no, I'm sorry, I wasn't clear.
Yeah.
Not FMW, SMW, Smoky Mountain.
Oh, Smoky Mountain. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, brother.
I'm sorry. I had marbles in my mouth. I was talking like Andre the Giant there. I apologize.
No problem. Well, I know. Not that I can recall SMW stuff. No, I'm not. You know, no.
Okay, well, what about you, Rob? Do you want to mention anything before we move on to Jesus?
Not really. I don't really know enough about it. I just remember that when Jake came to Smoky Mountain, he had lost the hair match, and I hadn't seen photos of him yet, and he was fat as shit, and he looked like Uncle Fester, and it made me sad. So that's, like, Jake
well,
the Snake Roberts looking like Uncle Fester is a fucking tragic moment in life.
Well, he just, you know, it seemed like he, you know, I do remember seeing a photo of him around that time, what you're talking about, Rob, and it's like, it seemed like he just, you know, he went down to Mexico to get some good weed, you know, he got himself a nice little senorita, you know, that's going to make him some fucking carne asada, and he just sat and ate and smoked some weed, lost his hair, made some fucking pesos, and bounced.
Yeah, he really should have. I mean, it was just tragic. He was like, it's worse than almost.
Sounds like Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, when you take Jake's hair away, I mean, come on. Yeah, he always had like that cool, slimy look. He didn't give a shit what he looked like. And then he's bald and he's just fucking, you know, obese. And he's fucking, you know, he's got nothing really to go for. And then he finds Jesus and he fucking has a new snake and... It was just really a slow downward spiral for that dude.
Yeah. And then, though he does make Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to bring up next was the Austin 316 thing. And, you know, and we, it's not like we haven't veered off the topic tonight at all. So I think now would be a justified time to do that. What was your thoughts on that, on the Austin using the catchphrases, because, you know, we've been talking about it all night, and I think biblical themes in wrestling are you know, really successful. I think that, you know, when Austin created Austin 316, that if a wrestler wants to get over today and really create something memorable, man, use a biblical theme or biblical name or whatever.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, Austin was probably stumbled on that, you know. I don't necessarily know if there was a lot of thought. It seemed like, you know, Steve Austin was smart enough, though, to kind of just cut a promo. I mean, at that time, you know,
right,
he was pretty fucking, you know, it seemed like really on top of his game. Unfortunately, he kind of drove the nail in the fucking coffin for poor now rotund Jake the Snake. Who's wearing a shirt, you know. Jake the Snake shouldn't be wearing a shirt, you know. Well, I guess he should be at that particular time. But it was kind of a sad, it was kind of, when I actually saw that shit, it was a fucking sad moment, I thought. I mean, I know it made Austin, but or at least that was like kind of the beginning of making Austin. I mean, you know, some people say that was the turning point and the whole Attitude Era and the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you know, Jake comes in there when the whole kind of Attitude Era, when the whole face of wrestling is changing and becoming a Jesus freak. You know, I mean, people are kind of maybe kind of sick of that kind of goody two-shoes shit. And then Mm-hmm. You know, you got this anti-hero, which I think, I don't necessarily know if it's helped wrestling. You know, I think there's a few guys, you know, like Ric Flair was always like kind of a great anti-hero. Like, depending on where he was, he'd be booed or cheered. Jake the Snake, kind of the same fucking way. But the reason why they were like that is because you couldn't tell if they were good or bad. And they were both at the same time. You know what I mean? And that's uniquely something that, like, few guys have today. Austin had that fucking thing, and that's why he got over. I don't necessarily know if he didn't have that catchphrase that he wouldn't have gotten over, but, you know, because I mean, he go over Vader first in that whole series?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's
right?
How it worked. And then,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that's Rob. That's Rob's thing. He's the one with the telegraphic memory there.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
I think
he goes over Vader, right? And then so they're already like think that he's something good, you know. And I got my own Vader feelings about Vader, but so and then he fucking drives a nail in the coffin of Jesus Jake the Snake, dude. I mean, it was like, see you later. Like, where do you go from there? Like, you're fat.
Yeah. You go to Beyond the Mat.
Yeah.
You
oh,
can
God,
barely.
Yeah. And then you're on Beyond the Mat taking a piss in a trough in Omaha.
Yeah,
right?
Dude. I mean, you're like, you can barely move in the ring. You know what I mean? You know, you're all Jesus'd out. You know what I mean? It's tight if that's, you know, going to help you or whatever, but, you know, and then.
Yeah,
and
it would help him. It probably was just like a crutch that he had to use and say he was doing just to, you know, cover up whatever he was doing. Then if you see that Beyond the Mat, it's like, Jesus, you hear about his fucking dad and his fucking sister that got killed. It's like, fuck, this guy's got some fucking bad shit that went on. And then, like, he came back in, like, 2005 to, like, WWF, and he cut a promo on, like, Orton or something. And I just remember vividly thinking, fuck, he's the best promo on the show. Like, he didn't lose his promo ability, but then, like, they put out that DVD, which is really good. And, like, it was a nice ending that everyone got to see, like, why Jake ruled, and they put the DVD out, but, like, you know, I don't know what he's doing these days. I know I saw him in an indie show like 2 years ago, and he was fucking awesome. Like, he's really good at working the crowd. He wrestled someone he probably never even met before that day, and he was clean, and he came out and did all these neat little tricks and got over huge. But it's just like, you know, he's obviously done. He doesn't have another run in him or anything, but I think he's one of the fucking best, like, fucking ever. Like, as far as bad guys go, I don't think there's too many better than Jake.
No, there's no way. I don't think anybody ever really held a candle to him. I mean, I think there's, you know, few. I would say there's a few before him, but I mean, at the modern day era, it's like there's still nobody. I mean, I think there's one or two people that come close to him today, but I don't think there's not that second coming. Like, you know, I always thought, like, as fucking, you know, crazy as Terry Funk was, like, Jake the Snake was like Terry Funk on a promo, but just quieter, like you were saying earlier. You know, I mean, he had the same kind of thing, you know. The wildness that, like, Terry Funk would come off in a promo where he'd be spitting and hitting people and, you know, crazy shit like that. Jake the Snake did that, but he did it with, like, his eyes. You know what I mean? And,
what do you call it? Just his movements. Like, he would stalk people, you know? Like whereas Funk was, like, fucking a complete, what's that guy, Captain Caveman? Like, just, like, complete motion at all times. Like, Jake was, like, fucking, he's, like, the fucking slow dude. He's, like, I'm gonna get you, I'm creeping on you, but I'm not gonna fucking, you know, hit you immediately. I'm going to wait and build it. And then, like, fuck, out of nowhere, like a snake, you know, he's going to get you. And, like, and even if you're trying to pick, like, favorite angles or matches of his, it's so fucking difficult. I mean, so many were so good. I mean, he's like an angle guy. Like, I always think of Punk as, like, today's version of an angle wrestler. He's another guy that doesn't necessarily need a belt because he's always going to be able to get his fucking heat back. And Jake was one of those guys. And, like, I remember when Punk was a good guy, I'd be like, well, shit, throw him something here. I'm begging you. Because, like, you wanted him in an angle. Like, cause you know he'd always take it and run. And, like, Jake, you never saw him just fucking hanging around with his dick in his hand. Like, Jake was always doing something. He always had something going on. And, you know, that's, like, guys in WWE now, like Kofi Kingston, fucking standing around doing shit. Give him something to work with, you know? But that's my rant for today. But, like, Jake's an angle guy, man. He always needs something cool to be doing.
Well, hey, Rob. Oh, go, Lars.
What's up, buddy? Well, I was going to say one of the guys I've been alluding to that come close to Jake the Snake is fucking Punk. And, I mean, I'm not saying that because the guy, you know, we're fucking really tight friends or anything like that. I mean, I'm saying that because I legitimately believe that. You know, because I know, like, the effort, you know, not only because I know him personally and how much he loves what he does, but, like, Punk is the best bad guy. He is the best bad guy in the business right now. Nobody comes close to him. He does that whole cerebral thing that a lot of guys, I mean, and it seems like Vince just lets him run with the skills, you know, as far as the mic skills. He just kind of goes out and says whatever he fucking wants to say. At least that's what it seems like to me. That's an art of wrestling that I think a lot of guys don't have. It's just that ability to go out there and fucking just spill some shit that means something, that actually is pertinent to what's about to happen, and make it make sense, and then still mean it. You know, whether you win or lose, you're still. I mean, whether Jake Snake won or lost, like you just pointed out, he always kept his fucking dignity in a way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same thing with Punk. But I mean, you know, the last stages of the WWF for Jake the Snake, I mean, as soon as they fucking pretty much put the nail in the coffin with Austin 316, then they fucking go do this whole thing with Jerry the King Lawler. I know who's Will's real favorite dude.
It's my bad, but, Rush.
Yeah. And I got an off air story for both you guys. But anyways, you know, and then they pretty much, you know, if Jake the Snake had any dignity left, it was all pretty much taken away. And it was so bad, just the way Lawler would just fucking ridicule him. It's like, you would think that it was going to cop some sympathy. And yeah, I did fucking legitimately feel sorry for him, but I didn't feel sorry for him and like root for him to kind of beat Lawler's ass. I kind of felt sorry for him. Like, you need to kind of go, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And then he did, basically, and that was it. It's like, Jesus.
Well, guys, now that I'm thoroughly depressed, I think we should end the show. I think we should end the show on a high note. And so, Lars, what we've done with these shows where we pay homage to these wrestlers, we did it with your best friend, Sean Waltman. We did it with the Steiners. We did it with Terry Gordy. We'll do it tonight. We're going to end the show. First, we're going to talk about our favorite angles that Jake was involved in. And then after that, we'll list a couple of our favorite matches to close it out. So, Lars, start us off, man. What were your favorite Jake the Snake angles?
Well, involving X-Pac or not involving X-Pac?
Not involved in X-Pac.
Okay. Well, number one, let me just throw out a disclaimer about X-Pac. If I met the guy, I'd probably be super nice and probably mark out a little bit because I actually really do kind of. Anyways, favorite angle is Jake the Snake. Well, Steamboat and him by far. I like some of the stuff he was doing with DiBiase. Shit, I mean, probably the one that sticks out the most in my mind just as of recent was probably that Macho Man, when Macho Man comes out of retirement. I really did like that. But then there was some stuff that, you know, I remember, I'd probably say those three.
Awesome. Rob?
Mine is Andre, don't the Snake. I'd say when Urquhart killed fucking Damien. That was awesome. I'd say, fuck, man, when he fucking DDT'd Sting and threw the cross on him, I thought that was dope. Yeah, there's my three. From picking three, I would definitely go with that for sure.
But you know what?
Well,
I think me and Rob would both agree that our favorite Jake the Snake match of all time was the blindfold match with Rick Martel at WrestleMania.
Yeah, maybe I can fucking see it when it happened. That'd be great. Jealous.
You know what, Rob? This is what we're gonna do, Rob. This is what we're gonna do. Me and you are gonna get together at some point. We're gonna sit on a couch, wear blindfolds, and watch that match.
Yeah, it's going to be a bonding moment, and we'll probably enjoy it just as much as we did in 91. Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fucking plan. And then we'll watch Big Japan Wrestling, because I know that we'll both be marking out for that shit.
Dude, that's the shit. See, that's something I would love to have seen Jake do, is a fucking death match, like a Big Japan-style death match, like at his prime. You know what I mean? Because you know it'd be the sickest fucking shit that there was.
Oh, yeah, and he would be the guy that would be, like, mousetraps in the corner, and he'd tease using them the entire match, and then finally, like, fucking surprise, and he'd fucking mousetrap the shit out of somebody or something. Yeah, Jake would have been dope in that scenario. He was a gimmick guy, too. Like, you give him any match, he's going to make that shit work, even the vaunted coal miner's daughter match, as we spoke about earlier.
But in all honesty, this guy was one of the best. I mean, by far one of the best. And, it's one of those things that I kind of really, really, really wish that, like, it took a different turn for him, because I think his mind could help so many fucking people. You know what I mean? Could help so many fucking people, you know, and make wrestling, you know, that much more better, you know? I love wrestling, but I think the absence of Jake the Snake Roberts in wrestling is a fucking crying shame.
Totally agree. It's.
I agree.
Jake would have been a good little agent, but oh well.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is that, at least because of his appearance and his lack of physique or whatever, you know, Jake's not the kind of guy that they'd even let have that kind of stage at this point in time. You know?
Oh, yeah. Rick Rude, if he didn't go to the gym, of course not. It's unfortunate. Bullshit.
But you know what? I'll just end on this final note for me, but, like, this is how much of an impact Jake the Snake had on me. I had the opportunity one time when I was doing a little loop with Punk to meet Ricky Steamboat. And when I met Ricky Steamboat and took a picture with him, I wasn't thinking about Ricky Steamboat's greatest matches. I was thinking about when Jake the Snake Roberts DDT, the dude that I got my arm on around right now, taking a photo. That's what I thought. So that just tells
you. I gotta show you that picture, man.
Yeah, I will. But that's what I fucking thought. You know what I mean? That's the impact. So there you go.
No, I agree. That's what I was going to tell you. Probably the angle that left the most lasting impression in my mind, because Ricky Steamboat as a kid was my favorite wrestler. You know, Rob talks about, you know, the wrestlers he liked were the big roided guys with the face paint. You know, those are his guys. Well, my guys were the exotic guys. And let's face it, they were all minorities. All right, it was Ricky Steamboat and his karate kick. It was Tito Santana, you know, because he spoke a foreign language. It was Jimmy Snuka. You know, those are my guys growing up, and that definitely left an impression on me. And what about you, Rob? What are your favorite matches from Jake that people should check out? And then Lars, if you want to add something else to that, we'll let you. If not, we'll end the show. But Rob, your favorite matches that people should check out from Jake?
Macho Man Tuesday in Texas, and what else? DiBiase WrestleMania 6. People should check that shit out. That's a very good match at the Sky Dome. So that's a good one. And, you know what? Now that I think about it, that main event match where Gene Okerlund and them were hanging out in the shower, that was a pretty good match, man. Pre-match interview aside, they fucking rocked it. So that was a good one, too. But yeah, that's about it for me as far as Jake goes.
Yeah. Every one of his matches, like that comp that's out there, the one, did you make that one, Will?
I made it, yeah.
Yeah. Are we supposed to talk about that?
Sure, why not?
Sure.
Yeah, well, let's talk about
it. The Christmas season. Forgiven.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you get Will's comp and you watch that shit in order, like I have, you will see just how phenomenal he was. Each match might be similar, but it's uniquely different because of just the presence that he brings in there. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, whether he's fucking with DiBiase or whomever or whatever it is, there's something that his aesthetic is always true. You know, I get bored watching a ton of Ric Flair matches in a row. I do not get bored watching a ton of Jake Snake Roberts matches in a row.
Totally agree. Like, it's there's a sameness, but it's not fucking rehearsal sameness. Like, Jake knows enough that he can just tweak shit and make every match special. Totally agree with that.
So, that's all I need to say. And,
okay.
And besides Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And, you know, thanks to both of you guys for having me on again.
Hey, thanks for being on, buddy. Always
thank
a good
you.
Time talking,
yeah.
man.
Let's do it again.
Peace.
We will, definitely. Well, people, want to wish y'all a Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening to part two of the show. And we'll see you next year. Take care.
Yo! For weeks of falling, that's undone. Hit the collar, drawn you back, throwing you a two. Using me, using you, what can you do? What's a max? It's a rat, fall out the track, fade to black. Back of feedback, hit the flashback, don't you know you hate it? You're out of sync, and you're full of shit. You're out of sync, you're out of sync. Fuck that shit, I wanna hear it, you can't bear it. With me planet, I hate your pain. You understand, you got no passion, no fashion. With a calm, you can't, calm, calm, true. Calm down, flames red and blue. You don't know, you got no clue, I see through. You're out of sync, and you're full of shit. I fucking hate it, you're out of sync. You talk that shit about our crew, we hate you. You say you know what, we don't know you. Jump on the next bandwagon, what's the next spin? And I heard you bragging, but you ain't shit. You get frustrated, we never hesitated to call you a sharpness, cause we hate you. You're a rattlesnake, and you're full of shit. I fucking hate you. You're a rattlesnake.
Ever dreamed of owning your own home? If you're a council or housing association tenant, the government's right to buy scheme could open the door for you. Because now you can get up to £77,900 off the price of your home. So why not find out if Right to Buy can open the door for you? Call an advisor on 0300 123 0913 or go online to righttobuy.gov.uk.